This week, the charity Save the Children said the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo has now killed around 100 children, and the number of new cases spiked last month. The country's Ministry of Health says there have been more than 800 cases total, with more than 500 deaths, in a country also dealing with political violence. The Ebola outbreak started in August and is now the second deadliest ever after that tragic 2014 outbreak in West Africa that killed around 11,000 people. Jamie Lasura is head of Ebola operation in the Democratic Republic of Congo for the Red Cross. He's in the city of Goma. Jamie, what are you seeing there?
Well, Robin, we're tackling an Ebola crisis in a war zone. I was speaking with some colleagues yesterday who have 35, 40 years in the industry, and it was unanimous that this was the most complex humanitarian operation that they'd ever been on. Mm. And this strain of Ebola, Ebola Zaire, has the highest case fatality rate of any strain of Ebola.
And children are the most vulnerable to this?
Well, what we're finding, actually, is that the elderly and children, of course, more vulnerable, but then women as well. 60% of Ebola cases are affecting women, so there is a disproportionate caseload for women.
Well, why is that?
It would be difficult to say, but this is something that we're trying to tackle because we're seeing with the communities that this is a big question.
Yeah.
Why women? Why women are being affected more? And so we're targeting our message towards hygiene promotion for women to try to combat this this deadly disproportionality.
Well, and it's highly contagious. It could be that women are caregivers, and so maybe they're coming more in contact with people who are sick. But you say there are questions from the community. And that's something that goes hand in hand with Ebola. So frightening, so highly contagious. There's a trust issue as well. Talk about how you're seeing that.
Well, what we've got right now is the Red Cross is we've got a almost live community feedback mechanism where we can go into the communities and ask them what are their concerns. And we're getting quite a few people that are now getting tired of this Ebola outbreak, rightfully so. You know, this is affecting them at a personal level, but also because it generates such community mistrust and community turmoil. These sort of rumors that we're seeing are regularly sort of fostering and fomenting some sort of community resistance that is actually quite difficult for our teams to reconcile as well when they go out into the communities.
Right, because people wrongly believe that aid workers might be spreading Ebola, but then also you might be under attack from some of the groups in the area that are fighting these conflicts. And we understand that people don't believe sometimes that someone's died of Ebola, so it causes problems when they're buried?
Exactly. Because when our safe and dignified burial teams go into the communities and the community doesn't understand what's going on, then we tend to face community resistance. We're not typically facing a lot of resistance from armed actors. We are facing resistance from the communities because it's scary when we have people who show up in spacesuits who take their mother from them after she's died from a horrible virus. This obviously generates community mistrust, community anger, and resentment, which is why we couple anything we do with a strong community engagement element to make sure people understand why we're there and what we're doing and that we're actually there to help them and to save lives.
You mentioned those people who come in spacesuits are the safe and dignified burial units because you have to keep it from spreading even after someone succumbed. So a lot going on there. Meantime, you said you're trying to get people to go into the health centers. We understand there's some suspicion there, too, because they see people go in and don't come out.
This is actually some of the results we're getting, is that there's a lot of mistrust against the Ebola treatment centers in particular, that people go in and they die. And this, of course, is the case because it's a viral hemorrhagic fever. But what we're doing is targeting our messaging to community unions and community leaders to tell them that if you go in early, when the symptoms begin to present, you have a better chance of surviving it. And we're working with survivors directly to help bring those messages to the communities.
What about prevention? Are people getting vaccinated?
It's difficult to comment on the vaccination campaign because this is not one of the elements that the Red Cross is involved in, but we're hearing from WHO and we're hearing from the Ministry of Health that the vaccination campaign has been essential in curbing this outbreak. We know, as you mentioned in your intro, that there have been 800 cases cumulatively. It is likely that this would have been much higher had the vaccination campaign not taken place.
Is there fear of the vaccination?
Yes, there's fear within the communities. There's fear amongst some responders. This is an experimental vaccine. And of course, you're not necessarily aware of what could be coming down the road with this. Mm. This is, again, why the Ministry of Health and WHO are actively involved in community engagement through their vaccination teams to make sure that the right messages are passed.
Do you have one? Did you get one?
My papers are with WHO right now. I hope to get one in the next week.
Oh, boy. Well, we hope you get it too. Jamie Lesore, doing the incredible work as head of Ebola operation in the Democratic Republic of Congo for the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. Jamie, thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin.